All right, well, it's a blessing to be in the Lord's house tonight. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Right at the outset of this great book, we see Paul's heart for the gospel. We see his motivation, his compelling desire to see the gospel go forward, to see the influence that it needs to the power of the gospel influence lives. And in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 14, the Bible says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice in here Paul's sense of his sobering responsibility to reach people with the gospel. Here he says he's a debtor. He saw the debt that he owed because of how he had been impacted by the gospel, and he had a debt to give that to other people. He said in verse 15 that I am ready to preach. He sensed his responsibility here to give the gospel. He said that he personally was not ashamed. Have you ever been ashamed at some time giving out the gospel? You kind of were timid or afraid or just thought, you know what, I'm not going to do that right now, or... You know, we've all been there. But Paul said he was not ashamed. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want us to look at another verse where we see Paul's sobering, how he sensed his sobering responsibility to reach people with the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, the Bible says, Paul is speaking, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He says, necessity is laid upon me. Paul realized that, that he had no other option but to give the gospel. He said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul had an amazing sense of this responsibility that he had to reach people with the gospel. And you know what? Our church, by the grace of God, is busy seeking to reach people with the gospel. We have Vacation Bible School this week. We have Kids Club every week. We have many of our ministries are geared to reach lost people. And you know what? That's exactly the way the local church ought to be. Seeking to influence this world, seeking to influence those around us, our communities, by reaching people with the gospel. And that's a powerful tool. And this evening, I just want to give you some encouragements in reaching lost souls. Many are busy this week reaching the people with the gospel. And throughout the weeks, you know, whether you're at work and you're seeking to reach people there, or your neighbors or coworkers or family members, whatever it might be. And just a few things I want to mention this evening that will, I trust, be an encouragement to you as you're seeking to reach people with the gospel. And first of all, I want us to see, and we can be encouraged, that God is at work in the lost. And that takes place, we see, through His work of drawing men. Turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And you know, I think we've all been there. We try to be a witness. We try to reach out to people. We spend time. We sacrifice for people. And you know, it's good to just step back and think, okay, you know what? God is working in these lost souls. He is at work. He is seeking, as we'll see here, to draw all men. John chapter 12. And verse 32, it says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You know what? God is working in the lost. He is seeking to draw them to Himself. Turn over to John chapter 6 and verse 44. I think this verse really parallels well with what the verse we just read. John chapter 6 and John chapter 6 and verse 44. It says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And God is seeking to draw all men. So tonight we can be encouraged, you know, as we're seeking to reach people, maybe bus families or co-workers, God is at work in their lives. And God needs us. He needs vessels, as we're going to see here in a moment. But you know what? God is at work in their lives, and He's not willing that any should perish. He's seeking to draw all men to Himself. So be encouraged tonight, you know, as we're seeking to reach people, you know, God is at work in their lives. You know, we may at times not see it. It may not look like anything's happening. People may be resisting it, but you know what? God is at work. And He is seeking very hard to help them, to see them respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is working. And I just remember a personal illustration of this, where I saw this happening, and it was in Wes's life. I remember knocking on his door and meeting him and giving him a Bible track. And a little bit later, he told me that just a few days before that, he had been praying that God would show him the light. You know, I had nothing to do with it. God had already been working there and preparing that heart and preparing Wes's life to receive the gospel. And it wasn't a long time after and Wes was saved, because God had been preparing and drawing him, and Wes responded to that work. But we see also God is at work in the lost through His work of conviction. John chapter 16 and verse 8, a familiar verse. But yet, something we need to be reminded of as we are working with lost souls and seeking and to see them won and giving our lives to win souls, He is at work in their lives. In verse 8 of chapter 16, it says, "And when He is come, He will reprove," or that's the word "convict," "the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." You know, the Spirit of God is seeking to convict. He's bringing conviction to lost sinners, and He is at work in their lives. And you know what? It's hard sometimes. We work with people and we wonder if anything's taking place. But you know what? God is at work in their lives, and He's not willing that any should perish. And you know what? When we knock on doors, it may seem, nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to respond to the gospel or really listen. Well, there are people, many people that do. But at times we can think, not many people want to hear. But you know what? God is at work. And you know what? We need to continue opening our mouth and giving the gospel, because God is at work in every individual life. You know, it completely changed how I view soul winning when God showed this truth to me. You know what? Every single house I knock on, every single person I talk to, God is already working in their life. He's already been there trying to get them to respond and to see the truth. We're familiar with the great soul winner, Dr. Walter Wilson. But all morning long, he had sought time and opportunity to shave himself before starting on a trip to Los Angeles from a neighboring village in which he was visiting. One circumstance after another combined to prevent this, until it was time to leave for the city. Hurrying up the long road to the interurban station, I went to the ticket window to purchase a ticket to the city. And there the agent told me that the electric train was 2 hours late. I felt that the Holy Spirit had some special work for me to do, else I would not have been hindered from shaving in the home of my host. I surmised that somewhere he had a barber to whom I was to have the privilege of giving the gospel that day. Upon learning the train was late, I started walking down the street, seeking a barber shop, at the same time looking to the Lord to guide and direct me aright. Two blocks down the street was a small revolving sign which attracted me, and I approached the shop. As I opened the door, a bell rang, arousing the barber, who was then in the rear of the shop, behind a partition. We met near the barber chair, and I observed that he was a Japanese, a young man of about 35. I asked for a shave, and he politely requested me to sit in the chair, which I did. Adjusting the chair to a reclining position, he soon had the warm lather on my face, with a hot towel to soften the beard. While he sharpened his razor, I asked the Holy Spirit for wisdom to approach this man in a wise way so that I might win him for Christ. I inquired of him whether he knew of Mr. Kimura, who is called the Billy Sunday of Japan. Where is he from? He asked. His home in Kyoto, but he preaches all over Japan. Oh, I came from Kyoto. I was born there, he said. Is this Mr. Kimura, a little man who builds big wooden tabernacles with sawdust on the ground? Yes, I said. My answer produced a deep impression. He obtained a clean towel, wiped the lather from my face until it was dry, raised the chair in order that I might assume a sitting posture. Then, leaning over the chair with solemn countenance and a serious voice, he said, I will never forget that little man. I went to one of his meetings in Kyoto and heard him preach. When he finished, he came from the platform down the aisle, placed his hand on my shoulder and said, Young man, how are you going to get rid of your sins? Have you found out how? I asked at once. No, he answered. I wish I could. When you rang the bell, I was walking up and down in my little room at the back of the shop, saying those words over and over again and wishing that I knew. Can you tell me? Yes, indeed I can, said I. Whereupon I rose from the chair, obtained my Bible, and returned to read to him the story of the Savior's love. It goes on to tell how he came to Christ. But it just goes to show that God is at work. And he uses circumstances and situations in people's lives or other believers to prepare the ground for us to come along and to give the gospel. God is at work in the lost around us. Secondly, let's be encouraged tonight that God wants all men to be saved. You know, he's working in every man, and he wants every man, every soul to be saved. You know, whether it's that coworker that hates God or that family member that mocks you, or just those people that seem impossible to reach, God wants them to be saved. In 2 Peter 3:9, we don't have time, but it's a familiar verse. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Turn over to John chapter 4. And we'll see, I think, this truth illustrated here in John chapter 4 and verse 35. He says, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. This here is implying a great abundance. He's not willing, you know, a farmer, the harvester doesn't want any grain to be lost when it's being harvested. And the harvester here in John 4:35, he says, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Implying that everywhere there are souls that are ready and needing to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is not willing that any should perish. He wants all men to be saved. The last thing I want us to see here is and be encouraged by is that God wants to use you. You know, we can get maybe weary in our well-doing and seeking to reach people. You know, we come to soul winning every Monday night. We spend our whole vacation Bible school week at church with these noisome kids or tiresome kids, you know, whatever it might be, or just we seek to be a witness wherever we go. But you know what? Be encouraged tonight that God wants to use you. God wants to use everyone. And you know, we can get start thinking and think, I'm not really somebody that God wants to use, or I'm not someone that is capable or as good as someone else. But you know what? God wants to use you. And let's look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 is a powerful verse because it says, We are laborers together with God. The work that God is seeking to do and the work that he is seeking to do in the lost, he wants to use us. We're laborers together with him. Wow, just think about that truth. You know, when we go out sowing, we're not alone. We don't have anything to be afraid of. We're laboring there with God. For we are laborers together with God. You know, God, as it says in Romans 10, God needs a preacher. He needs a mouthpiece to through which he can work, a channel. And in the verses just before verse 9, I want us to just notice three things that how God wants to use us, and then we'll be done. It's, first of all, God wants to use you to plant. Look at verse 6. It says, I have planted. Paul said, I have planted. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You know, God needs people to plant the seed. You know what? We're not always going to be the one that's doing the reaping. We need to plant the seed. And you know what? That requires faith, requires boldness, it requires diligence. It's easy to give up, but we need the boldness and faith. But God wants to use you to plant the seed. You know, don't ever think that your simple word of witness accomplished nothing. You know, I'm convinced that someday in eternity we will see, you know, just what that simple tract, passing out that simple tract accomplished, or the souls that were saved as a result. And I'm thinking right now of illustrations of people, that man in Australia who never knew of souls that had been saved through his ministry until he was about to die. But there are thousands that had come to Christ by him on the streets of Australia there. And God needs people to plant the seed. That's what here Paul says, I have planted. He was busy planting the seeds. And he didn't always do every step of the process, but he was planting seeds. And then it says Apollos watered. God needs you to water. You know, maybe somebody else planted the seed, like in this illustration with Dr. Wilson. Somebody else had planted the seed. And sometimes we need to water the seed that has been planted. And many times that takes time. It takes love. It takes compassion. And just this week I've thought about, you know what? So many of these families or these children, these homes, they're going to take a lot of work to see the gospel have the effect that it needs to in their lives. It's going to take someone that's going to love them, that's going to show that they care about them, that's going to have compassion upon them, and to water that seed that's been planted in their lives. And then it says, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the increase. And then God wants to use you to reap. Turn over to John chapter 4. This will be our last verse that we'll look at. But John chapter 4. And just after that great verse, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Verse 35, it says, 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. You know, it's a wonderful thing when God allows us to be there or be the instrument that God uses to reap that soul. And that will happen. And you know what? I think it ought to be that all three of these, planting and watering and reaping, ought to be something that we are all experiencing fairly regularly. We all need to be planting every opportunity we have. But you know what? I think we need to be desperate before God and say, God, I want to be used of you to reap that harvest, to be used of you to see that soul come to Christ. You know, and that I think we need to have faith that God can use us to be that instrument to see souls come to Christ, to reap that harvest. So I trust tonight that you've been encouraged to and reminded that, you know what, keep spreading the gospel everywhere you go. Keep giving out those Bible tracts. Keep opening your mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ. That person that you've witnessed to many, many times, keep being a witness to them. Because you know what? God is at work, and He's not willing that any should perish. So we shouldn't be either. And God wants to use you here tonight. Don't be discouraged. Don't think, ah, God's not using me. I can't be used. No, God can be. And tonight, I just wanted to be an encouragement here to you tonight, to with these simple truths, just to be reminded, you know, that God is at work. He is working, and He wants to use you and me to see souls come to Christ. And you know what? I'm praise the Lord for our church and the zeal and the passion that we have. But you know what? We need God's help to be even a greater witness, to be seeing more souls saved. And I just trust that this will be an encouragement and a challenge for us tonight to keep going forward and trusting the Lord, living by faith and believing that God can win souls and souls can be saved. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we ask that with the help of the Spirit of God tonight, we would lift up our eyes, that we would look on the fields that are white already to harvest. May we come to Vacation Bible School tomorrow with a new perspective, with seeing a ripened harvest field. May we look at our community, at our coworkers, with a new perspective, as a harvest field that's ready to be harvested. Because God, You are already at work in these people's lives. You are seeking to draw all men. And oh God, may we just simply be faith-filled witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ that would open our mouth with boldness and proclaim the gospel to all those that we have the opportunity to. And so, Lord, we pray that You would encourage each one of us here tonight and our church to continue going forward to being a witness and a light in this community that needs the Lord Jesus and also around this world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.